Hello, everybody, and welcome to a long overdue episode of the Calling It Podcast, recording Tuesday, October 29th at about 5:30 p.m. I'm Alex Barth, joined by Alex Lebowitz. We're powered, as always, by CLNS Media. Lebowitz, what's up?
Not much. It's been far too long.
And I'll take the brunt of the blame for that, because some of this show goes around my sometimes pain in the ass schedule, and you had a Thursday night game, then a Monday night game, and it's just been short week after short week after short week, and I'm glad we're back to Sundays with Patriots.
Yes, although the late games, I like 1 o'clock starts. I think it's the best way to go, especially
well, they only have like two more of those this year.
I know. So this is the most important part of the season. Obviously, they got a lot of tough games ahead of them, but what I really care about is the start times. I hate the primetime games because that means I'm exhausted in the mornings. So, yeah. But still, this is going to be the fun part of the season where they really get tested for once.
I think when I get out of primetime games, when I like leave is when you wake up, like 4 in the morning.
Yep, right around then. Yes.
So that's when
5 hours
record.
Of sleep usually.
All right, so we will get more into the Patriots because what we are going to do, as we tend to do when we miss a week or two of shows, we are going to do takes from a hat. If you're familiar with the famous show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's sort of like scenes from a hat, but instead of us ad-libbing scenes, I pull a take. I think we have, 12 takes here in this hat? I pull a topic out of the hat. It's just a general topic we decided on beforehand, and we each give a take on that topic. And then we move on. It's our way to hit a bunch of different subjects at once. So, Lebowitz, you ready to get started?
I am.
All right. The first topic from Takes from a Hat is the World Series. The World Series is going on. It's almost over. But there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. Lebowitz, I'll let you go first on this one. World Series.
Yeah, obviously, we're recording this Tuesday night. Game 6 is tonight. It's Verlander versus Strasburg. And it's the clinching game for the Astros. The question I think everyone has is, will Verlander turn in a quality start? He's been, underperforming this postseason. And I think he's due. I think it's going to be a great game. The problem with the Nationals is they haven't been able to put any runs on the board. So will that change tonight? You have a team that's won 3 straight after starting off rocky. So if I had to put money on it, I'd go with the hot team in the Astros, but overall, it's been a great postseason, and I think it's going exactly how a lot of people pictured it. Maybe not the way you're getting there, but the Astros ending up winning is something that I think everyone had locked in, given the talent and how well they played this season.
It's been a fun World Series just because I feel like both these teams are really into it, and they're having fun, and, it's not stiff, old man, salty baseball. Guys are pimping home runs and yelling at each other from the dugout, and it's fiery. And that's ultimately what you want, and that's what baseball needs at this stage. So that's been my big takeaway. I would love to see Washington come back and win it because I hate it when superstars make a big showy deal of leaving and don't even consider going back to their original team. And the fact Bryce Harper wrote off the Nationals, it would be so great to watch them win a chip the year he walks out. So my quick take on the World Series. All right, next up, we have Halloween. This is Halloween weekend coming up here. Even though it's after the actual date, Halloween. I'll start with this. Best Halloween candy, just off the top of my head, real quick, in no particular order, but my favorites: Sweet Tarts, Milky Way, Three Musketeers, Airheads, and you gotta go Reese's. Those are like off the top of my head some of my favorites. I bought a bag of candy because it was super cheap at CVS, a bag of M&Ms at the beginning of the month. Rolled through that. Now I got bags of Reese's and Kit Kats in my freezer. And that's before all the sales, before all the post-Halloween sales. So I'm enjoying the season. I am very much in the festive spirit of Halloween.
Yeah, those are good choices. I'm not as big of a sweet tart guy as you, I don't think.
Sweet tarts, Smarties. I like that.
I do. You know what's good? I like the Nerds came out with this
Nerds
candy.
Are good. Nerds are
it
very
has,
good.
But they have ones. It's like crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside. So it's bigger. It's like a gummy thing. It's my favorite texture.
Nerds on a row.
But like little bite-sized pieces. So it's not like
I remember Nerds on a Rope. I like Nerds on a Rope.
Those are fantastic too. I'm big into that. My take on this is there are a lot of towns that are doing it the wrong way, given Triple E. Triple E's gone. Can we just, like,
it's consider not. Triple... It's, there hasn't been a freeze. It's not gone.
But when's the last time you heard of a sample collected in which there was Triple E?
I don't follow that news. Well, so I won't know.
I'll tell you this. Like, a month or two ago, it was, like, every week I'd have a story in my news that you know, gave that information away. There was a Triple E, or there was a mosquito sample in some town or city in which the mosquitoes tested positive for Triple E. It hasn't been that way in about a month. You haven't heard of anyone getting sick. We're in the clear, but still towns are moving up the trick-or-treating time to like 4:30 on Thursday. People aren't even back from work. So you're really screwing the kids at the end of the day when we're pushing the times up.
Halloween really should be on a Saturday. It should just be the last Saturday of October.
Yes, and this is an initiative that's actually being pushed right now. It should be like Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's the third Thursday of every November. You should do the same thing with Halloween. Have the ceremonial night or whatever, you know, October 31st, no matter what. But trick-or-treating, that's a big deal. So we can't mess with that.
Let me add to that, too. Let me ask you this, because I always get into this debate this time of year. When does the holiday season begin? Because people associate the holiday season with, you know, Christmas, Hanukkah, all that. To me, the holiday season begins, it depends on the weather because it's got a feel right outside, but generally around mid-October. The holiday season is Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then whatever holiday you celebrate in December, whatever present-giving holiday you celebrate in December. Does not include New Year's because that's not a holiday. That day sucks, and I'll do that rant another time.
Well, but, I don't
like,
know.
We are in the holiday season to me right now.
I don't think this is it yet. I don't feel like it's holiday season. I think the week before Thanksgiving. The week before Thanksgiving.
No.
Absolutely. Because that's when you
count Halloween as one of the holidays.
No, definitely not. Not even close.
I so do.
Listen,
so
do. No. No.
Quick.
Okay. It's Thanksgiving. I don't care about Halloween. I really haven't cared about it since I was young. Thanksgiving is that holiday where you get the family together. There's football. You have a short week at work. First of all, for it to be a real holiday, you have to get work off. Like, that's just a must. So when you feel that you have off days coming up, there's a different type of, you know, ambiance in the air, or a different type of feel in the air, and you're getting more into the groove. So I'd say the week before Thanksgiving is when I start to really feel it. Then Thanksgiving comes around, and for me, it's pretty much smooth sailing through New Year's. And then it's the worst 2 months of the calendar year.
I don't know. I consider Halloween part of it. I'm just a festive person, I guess. All right, yeah. We're through two topics, and we're almost 8 minutes in, so we got to pick this up a little bit
yeah,
here.
Let's go.
It's been a while. Yeah. We never got to do our NBA preview or our Celtics preview, so... Thought on the NBA, thought on the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, it's early to tell right now. I think the biggest thing is the Warriors are not the top dog in the NBA. There's a lot of turnover. I feel like we've already said this stuff, but we still have a lot to see in regard to what unfolds here. I'll keep it to the Celtics, I guess. I like what I'm seeing out of Jason Tate or out of Jaylen Brown. I think that, you know, his raw athleticism continues to show, and I think that even though that deal, the $115 million for 4 years, it seems like a lot. You need that guy to excel to have a shot at winning a championship. So he's someone that I am excited for. Jason Tatum has all the moves but can't finish. And overall, I just like the roster. Kyrie is addition by subtraction, the fact that he went over to Brooklyn. So I'm excited. Nothing really new in regard to the NBA. It's through the first three games or so.
And we'll get Kyrie, just spoiler alert, is his own slip.
Yes.
So we'll get to that in a bit, but Taco Fall, man, you got to talk about Taco Fall.
Of course.
His debut the other night. He's back in May now, but he looks unstoppable. I just want it on the record. I've been on that bandwagon for 2 years when everybody told me I was being ridiculous. Taco's been fun to watch. NBA wide though, I will say the Clippers are very interesting to me because those super teams, we normally hate them, right? Everybody writes off the super teams. They're not fun to root for, but there's something about Kawhi being likable. And then, and again, originally I didn't think I'd root for them. Like, I'd want them to do well. But then to see them get booed at the Staples Center when it was their, quote, home game, right? And, like, they're just – they are, like, the anti-LeBron team.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's in L.A. now. Like, the Clippers are sneaky easy to root for right now. And they're a good team, and I'm really interested to see what happens.
Well,
they also play really old-school basketball, which I like.
Definitely.
So I am buying in on the Clippers.
And just one little note, I cannot wait because this is going to happen. It's inevitable. the 30 for 30 on the Los Angeles rival in 10 to 20 years on these two, the Clippers and the Lakers. I think this is going to be fun to watch. And you just said it, that's probably the storyline of the season.
Yeah, so that's mine. What do you know? Next one out. All right, Kyrie losing his mind to Brooklyn. Go.
Yeah, it's not surprising. I mean, it seems like he's a guy who has all the warning signs, and I know Nets fans want it to work out, and I get it. The guy's an all-time talent, but his personality keeps getting in the way of him being a productive leader, and you're probably going to see more of the same this year in Brooklyn, especially with KD out. I don't know if that's an asset, if it like kind of delays the collapse that will happen, or if it's a bad thing and it will expedite the collapse. But overall, yeah, it's not surprising at all. He's a guy who was a horrible leader all of last season. He checked out in the middle of the year, and he's kind of ruined every relationship he's had in this league for the most part, except, you know, with Kevin Durant, evidently.
And we'll see if he makes it to when Durant comes back. Again, Nets fans trying to tell themselves everything's going to be okay. Like, I see us. I see Celtics fans.
Yes.
Yeah. From a year ago. It's like looking at a time machine in a mirror. And no, it's fine. He's in a new place. It's overblown. It's the media hyping it up. I knew there was that clip of him on Twitter. It might have been, I think it was the end of last week, where he's talking about how New Jersey and New York wasn't really a rivalry when he was growing up and something like that. And he's just saying words to say words again. And he's not happy and he's getting moody. And again, Nets fans, just let it happen. Just don't get attached. He's going to run himself out of town. You're going to end up hating him anyway. Don't let yourselves get attached. I can't wait to watch the Nets be a dumpster fire. Next topic, Netflix. Specifically, this story came out yesterday, kind of ticked me off. Netflix, I don't know if they're actually doing it or if they're considering it, but considering is too much. A feature where you can watch movies at 1.5 speed. And this, to me, is a perfect example. It's a snapshot of everything that's wrong with our society. What is the only reason to watch a movie? You want to enjoy it. Things still staring at a screen for an hour and a half. You do that because you're seeing something on that screen you like. Why are we rushing that? And imagine being a filmmaker and you're trying to put all this suspense and drama in your film and some jackass watches it at 1.5 speed. It's going to take that all away. Watch any great film at 1.5 speed. I guarantee you it's not going to be as good. So can everybody just be patient? Just enjoy your damn movies. You don't have to go to the theater anymore. You don't have to pay $20 for a ticket. You don't have to pay $20 for popcorn, right? Movie watching is easier than it's ever been. Just enjoy the damn movie. What's the hurry here? What is the hurry? I do not understand. Everything needs to be hurried up. Sporting events need to be faster. We go to sporting events to enjoy them. To take our mind off everything else. Why rush that? You watch a movie to enjoy the movie and not think about things. Why rush that? Why are we rushing everything? Except songs, for whatever reason, are getting longer, which I don't necessarily hate, but just everybody needs to slow the hell down.
Well,
we do not need to speed up Netflix.
Baseball needs to get faster.
Baseball's the one exception, yes.
So, but with Netflix, yeah, I agree. I mean, acting, so much of acting is about timing. And
yes.
You're just throwing that all out of the window when you go 1.5 speeds. They have this on podcasts. I don't know how people retain anything said on podcasts when they do
hang
that.
Hang on. To screw with those people, let's just for about 30 seconds here talk really slow. You made a great point with timing, though. Imagine watching Jaws in that whole scene. Da-da, da-da, right?
That's it becomes stupid. It becomes
that
dumb.
You speed that up, it takes away from the scene, and not just the scene, one of the greatest scenes in movie history.
And one more thing, they do this before they allow you to randomize series, like episodes and series. You have The Office. I don't necessarily want to pick my episode. I'm super indecisive. What happens, like, because everyone goes on Netflix and takes about like an hour to actually pick what they're gonna watch. Like, at least that's me a lot of the times when I'm just trying to, you know, unwind or whatnot.
Right.
Sometimes I want to watch a show, but I don't know what episode it is that I want to see. So Netflix needs to take that decision out of my hands and just randomize it. The fact that this came before that is just ridiculous in my eyes.
Well, there's a way to, you just go online, you do number, random number generator. You do it once for the season, once for the episode number.
Yeah, but that's too much work.
Do you not? I thought everybody did that. Okay. Moving on.
Wait, is NFL, that a thing? I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Okay, there I'll try go. That.
Okay. If you have, you can do it with like dice too, I guess. If there's only six seasons and six episodes.
Okay.
NFL trade deadline was today. NFL trade deadline was today. It sounded like there's going to be a lot going on. Jamal Adams, Le'Veon Bell, Trent Williams. At the end of the day, it's just Aqib Talib going to Miami, where he's probably going to retire or get cut. I will say, though, the funniest news for me today, it wasn't trade-related, is the Bengals benched Andy Dalton. And not only did they bench Andy Dalton, they benched him on his birthday, which is peak Andy Dalton. But not only did they bench Andy Dalton on his birthday, the official release on the team website said the team has informed the franchise's all-time leading passer, Andy Dalton, that he will be benched. Today is Dalton's birthday. Talk about twisting the knife. And then they don't even have the decency to trade him because apparently the Bengals, and I learned this today, I did not know this, the Bengals don't believe in making player-for-player trades. They believe it is against their best interest to help other teams. They haven't made a player-for-player trade since the mid-90s. They don't do it. They only trade draft picks, which is stupid as hell. And that franchise deserves to burn to oblivion unless they get Joe Burrow, because he deserves everything in the world and he deserves a Super Bowl after Brady retires. But Bengals are dumb, and Andy Dalton getting on benched on his birthday is that is exactly how Andy Dalton's career should end. Getting benched on his birthday and then the team refusing to trade him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a horrible turn of events.
He's hilarious. Come on.
It stinks. I feel bad for Andy Dalton because he seems like a really nice guy. He's like one of those really nice guys, but just horrible things happen to him. And I know that's not the case at all, but that's the impression I have from him. I don't know if it's his face. I don't know what it is. The fact that he's played for the Bengals.
Remember the character Eugene from Hey Arnold?
Oh yeah.
It was always getting hurt. Yeah, it's Andy Dalton.
Yes. Yeah. That's pretty much. That's a great comparison. Right. That was Eugene,
right?
I think so. If I remember my Hey Arnold character correctly,
and he'd always get hurt.
Yeah. So
his Wikipedia labels him as the class jinx. There you go.
And he's not even the football head. Like that's the sad part. He's a football player. He can't even be Arnold. But yeah, that was. I feel bad for him. But I mean, they're 0-8. They're garbage team. Other stuff. I don't think we have a Patriots segment. Do we?
We do.
Oh, we do. Patriots. All right, so I'll save that. Aqib Talib being traded to the Dolphins. Imagine going from the reigning NFC champs to the Miami Dolphins. That's just such a fall from grace, and I feel
they're
really.
They're going to get Tua, though. They're going to get Tua. I think they're going to beat the Bengals. Week 16, if none of the other Week 16 games have major playoff implications, they need to flex Bengals-Dolphins into the Sunday night game.
It's just going to be two teams trying to lose.
If they're both 0-14, and that game is for the number one overall pick, you have to flex that game to the late game. How do you not?
Just
pity watching. Oh my God, I would be glued to that.
I'm taking the under in that one. They're both going to just knee it the entire time. I mean, you're trying to get that number one pick, right?
It's like that South Park episode where they're both trying to get eliminated from the baseball tournament. Speaking of baseball, how about, I didn't even see this. That's perfect timing. Red Sox offseason. The Red Sox have made a move. They have more moves coming. Chaim Bloom, all of us will properly pronounce L'Chaim, is the new GM. I don't know much about him, but everything the people I trust tell me indicates it's a good sign. It doesn't sound like he'll be too much of a puppet of the ownership, which is encouraging. But, I mean, guy's what, 39? And he's got to figure out what he's going to do with J.D. Martinez. That decision's coming next week, if Martinez will opt in or not. And then he's got to decide what's going to happen with Mookie Betts. So, guy's got a lot on his plate coming up. And, I still stand where I stood at the end of last year. I think you have to trade Mookie. You pray J.D. opts in. And then you got to figure out what you're doing with David Price and Chris Sale. Because those two guys are not long-term solutions, given the health situations.
Yeah. So a couple things. One, Jews who went to Yale usually do well for the Red Sox. Theo Epstein, another one.
You go to Yale, didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. He's a Yale guy.
All right, so good hiring pattern there.
Yeah, it's following that trend. Two, this is a guy who, you know, is on a team that not only has, you know, a much lower salary or budget than the Red Sox, but they kind of revolutionized the game this past year. They were going with relief pitchers to start the game and doing that whole thing. So I think you're going to see a revamped roster. More than that, you might see pitchers used in a different way, and I don't know how much input he'll have an in-game managing. But you have a guy in Chris Sale who hasn't been able to make it through an entire season. To have someone who's kind of looked at the game in a completely different way, or at least been a part of a front office that has, it's an asset. And I think that it's something that could maybe try to, salvage Chris Sale and maybe Nathan Eovaldi to an extent. But you're going to see a new look Red Sox team. I think rebuilding is on the horizon for sure.
All right, let's go El Camino, the El Camino movie. We talked about this. We had three things we were excited for. We talked about this a couple shows ago. Three movies coming out. El Camino, The Irishman, which is the Jimmy Hoffa movie, and I still can't remember the name of the Adam Sandler one. I always blank on it.
Uncut Gemstones.
No, it's Uncut Gems, because I get it confused with Righteous Gemstones.
Righteous Gemstones, right.
Which is a great show. Great show. Cannot wait for Misbehavin' being on Spotify is awesome. El Camino, though, was it entertaining? I guess, but it wasn't. I thought the whole storyline, it was very easy to predict what was going to happen next to me. And I was hoping for more. I know Jesse isn't Walt, but I was hoping for more of that kind of, you know, Breaking Bad, Scarface meets MacGyver sort of thing. And the plot seemed kind of bland. He escapes. You knew he was going to try to get back to the vacuum guy to get away. And RIP to that actor, by the way, who died right after that. I love that guy. Robert Forster. Thank you. But it's like, all right, so he's going to get them. You knew when he was going to get the money, what he was getting it for. You knew once he gets to the guy, he was going to try to escape. I didn't need it. It was good. I was entertained. I didn't need it. It mm-hmm. didn't stand out. Nothing in it stood out to me, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Well, I didn't mind it. It was fine. I don't know if I'd watch it again. It didn't really stand out to me. I was thinking we'd get something that would stand out.
Well, that would have been the worst thing, I think. It was not over the top. It did what it was supposed to do, and that was close out Jesse's storyline.
It did that in the most bare minimum way.
No, it didn't. I don't think so. I think this would have been something that would have been drawn out over a season if it were actually in the series, but it's a legitimate storyline and it wasn't adding too much. It was his journey to essentially independence, and it was actually a happy ending in what was otherwise a really dark show.
No, go ahead.
I just thought it was a nice ending to the show, and it wrapped up everyone's storyline in a good manner. So, I was all for it. I thought it was phenomenal. It wasn't over the top. It did exactly what it was supposed to do, and it was fitting. It was very on par with what we're used to watching Breaking Bad.
But again, I thought there might be some more. I thought we might get through some flashbacks, some of Jesse before the show started, which I've always been interested in. Frankly, I was more interested when the show ended in kind of learning about Jesse before he met Walt, as opposed to what happened after. That was a storyline I was always interested in.
But that's a separate. But this was supposed to wrap up Breaking Bad,
right. But I thought we might get some flashbacks in it. The other thing that just made it was super distracting to me the whole time is it looked like Jesse Plemons ate Jesse Plemons. He got so damn fat. He didn't just get fat. He got so damn fat.
Yes.
And that was just like I spent the first half of the movie. I had to go back and rewatch parts because I got lost Googling like what roles Jesse Plemons has been playing and why he got so damn fat.
But him being as big of a part of the movie, I think, was a great idea. Also,
pun intended.
Yeah, he was a large part. But also, one of the characters, one of the antagonists in this, I won't spoil anything, but he's in The Righteous Gemstones. He's also the antagonist in The Righteous Gemstones.
Yes, I did catch that. And he was, I was watching them simultaneously. Like, I watched the episode of Righteous Gemstones I had, and then I watched that, and it was good. That guy had a hell of a month. Good for him.
He really did. It's been a good year for him. But Jesse Plemons being in it as much as he was is great. He's a phenomenal actor, and I thought that he did a good job of helping build the story and kind of fill in the gaps between Jesse getting captured and his escape, and eventually him ended up where he did at the end. Won't spoil it though. I liked it. I'll give it. I'm gonna give it an A minus.
B minus C plus. The assignment was completed, but no, nothing extra.
Yeah.
There was plenty of Jesse Plemons. All right, Deadspin. Deadspin has been told they are no longer allowed to write about not sports. Of course, I'm sure they'll still manage to find a way. Sports and the mainstream certainly intersects plenty. Trump was at a World Series game a couple days ago. But they get that notice, and all the writers got pissed. And then the what's the name of the parent company? Gizmodo, right?
I'm not even sure. I don't know.
Something with a G. Anyway, they fired one of the head editors, and everybody at Deadspin's all worked up. And this is more of a you topic. Nobody loves making the story about themselves more than Deadspin. And I think this is, I really didn't think this was this big of a deal. You know, I'll give them this. They're intelligent. Whatever you will say about Deadspin, they are, you know, educated, intelligent writers over there. I think they could have figured out a way to keep writing about what they wanted to write about without their bosses getting mad. But they're going to blow this up into a whole thing, and we're all going to have to deal with it and watch it. That's classic.
I don't understand how, you know, because they were never sports. They wrote in the realm of sports, but it was never a sports site.
No, it was always at the very beginning.
But it completely shifted.
Right.
And I feel like that's what people began to you know them for. They were kind of they were a media watchdog to an extent. And I don't like them, but that's kind of what they did.
I loved original Deadspin. Original Deadspin was great.
And yeah, and then they got all high and mighty. And you are right. They do kind of like to make like a lot of their content about them. And it's funny because they have a rivalry kind of with Barstool. Barstool does the same thing, but they're always playing the high and mighty over Barstool. It's clear that people in Boston will pick one over the other. But yeah, I don't think anyone's shedding a tear. It's kind of an irrelevant site, and a lot of their articles in the past have made me kind of roll my eyes.
I mean, I just remember the one from last year when everything was rolling. The Pats were rolling. The Bruins were on that massive winning streak. The Red Sox were either about to or had just won the World Series. I forget which one. And the Celtics were playing the Warriors. And there was something about they published this article because Deadspin hates Boston. They published this article about how the Warriors were America's last hope to stomp the greedy Irishmen or something.
Which is racist.
By beating the Celtics and knock us down, which was like, I don't know. It was like, there was the thing about, but in a way I love it because I remember after the past Super Bowl against the Rams, they wrote something about congratulations, the people you hate win again. And just as a Patriots fan, something about that headline, like, I loved that.
Someone cue up the
loved seeing that headline.
Someone cue up the gif of Eric Cartman licking Scott Tenenbaum's tears.
That's what I replied to the tweet with the article, and it got like 100 likes, so I knew I did it right. Let's see, what we got here? The Boston Bruins. The Boston Bruins are kicking some ass. And David Pastrnak's apparently the greatest hockey player who ever lived. He can't stop scoring goals. This is unreal. I'm just worried he's going to cool off. Like, don't let him cool off. If he does this, they might be able to get back to the cup. They've been really fun to watch. I'm all in on the Bruins again this year.
And Brad Marchand keeps feeding him. I mean, that first line is incredible. You talk about Pastrnak's getting all the credit, but Marchand's like right behind him in points scored. He has something like 13 or 14 assists this season. But that first line is phenomenal. It's great to see they picked up right where they left off, sort of. And Tuukka Rask has also been playing pretty well for the Bees. It's just a matter of whether or not it will last. But yeah, David Pastrnak, what is he, 23 now, if that? 22. Right. So this is a breakout year for him, and he's kind of emerging as one of the top players in the league. I was actually at the game where he scored four goals, and it's automatic. The guy, especially in one-timers, he's phenomenal, and it's nice to have a, you know, someone who's looking like a superstar playing for the Bees right now.
David Pastrnak is 23, and he has 23 points through 11 games, 11 goals, 12 assists.
Jordan here.
I mean, look, there's still a long way to go, and normally the Bruins do the opposite of this. Remember, they were under 500 at this point last year. I think, like, into November, they were under 500, and then they just turned on the Jets and took off. So, still a lot of hockey to be played, but certainly encouraging things from the Bruins, who are kind of banged up, too. They're not totally healthy right now. So that bears watching. All right, this is a big one. This is a fun one here. We got two more. The NCAA has agreed to let players profit off of their own likeness. Now, this does not mean the NCAA or the colleges will be paying the players, but player wants to get a shoe deal, he can get a shoe deal. Player wants to get a billboard for a sandwich shop, can do that. Wants to make money signing autographs, can do that. I think this means they can get agents, but I'm not positive. I haven't looked into it that much yet. But the most important point of this, players can sell their likenesses to EA Sports, NCAA football, NCAA basketball coming back. They said all of these laws will be in place at the latest January 2021, which means we are realistically within 2 years away from another college football and maybe another college basketball game for Xbox and PlayStation. Lines up just in time with what's supposed to be the next generation of consoles. Lubwitz, I am so excited for this. I am so damn excited. I can't begin to tell you.
I'm ready. I love those games as much as you do, and I'm not as big of a fan of college sports, but they are the most fun to make a guy an offensive coordinator, build them up to be the head coach or to play the legacy mode in which you're starting out as a freshman. It's just a fun game, and college football is perfect, and basketball for that matter, to translate into into a video game. But more importantly, it's about time players can actually get compensated legally for their likeness. And it's not like they haven't already. But I'm just curious as to how this is going to change the landscape for college football and college basketball. Are there going to be locations that are more feasible for players to make money? I don't know if that's going to make a big difference or not, but it's got to affect recruiting in some way, and I am curious to see in what direction that goes. But overall, this is a great step. I think it's long overdue. Credit to people in the NCAA, within the NCAA, for actually budging on this one. I think they saw the writing was on the wall.
That was the meme all day. You kind of hit me with that, which was, you know, me on the outside. Oh, good. This is a huge day for workers' rights and blah, blah, blah. Me on the inside. All right. Which team am I going to be in NCAA 20? That was me today. Yeah. Although I skipped right over the players' rights things. Like I just want the video game. Like, good for the players. I'm definitely happy for them. They deserve it. But
and they're all like, if you were good enough to get a sponsorship, you're getting paid. That's the reality of college sports, at least with basketball and football. They're getting paid, every single one of them. If you go to Duke, you're probably getting paid. If you're going to play football at Alabama, you're probably getting paid. Like 99% sure you are. So that's never been a problem, but now you don't have to go through the loopholes and schools aren't liable and, you know, on the hook for sanctions and fines and whatnot. So again, great stuff for college sports.
All right, last topic, Patriots. They traded for Mohamed Sanu. They're on their third kicker of the season. Offensive line's a mess. They're 8-0 though. And this game this week though has me worried a little bit. I think they'll have a better game plan than the Seahawks for Lamar Jackson. I think they should win it. We saw they do have some trouble with the run. We saw that last week. I would not be surprised if they lost this week, although, and I don't know if I'm going to pick them or not. I'm still deciding. But there are worse things for this team than sitting on a loss for 2 weeks, sitting on a loss to a young quarterback for 2 weeks. Bill Belichick has said he wished he lost a game in 07 before the Super Bowl. And I'm not going to panic if they lose this week. They're going to get N'Keal Harry back. Mohamed Sanu is going to get integrated into the offense. I think the bye week is going to be huge for them. So I did love the Sanu trade. And let's see. This is an interesting time for this Baltimore game.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that there are deficiencies on this team. They're 8-0, and they've been playing phenomenally, a record-setting defense and whatnot. But, you know, as you know, they were seeking a tight end. They still think the offense, Belichick, that it still thinks the offense is not where it should be, which should concern you because, you know, if these teams don't commit as many turnovers as they have been, if they actually secure the football, a lot of these games are closer than the outcome has been. So, and I know that's a silly thing to say, but it's the truth. And you have a Baltimore team that's arguably the second best in the AFC. This is their biggest test of the season by a mile. And I have a hunch that they're going to come in prepared because they've been so focused all year long, at least on the defensive end. I don't think Lamar Jackson is going to really, you know, affect that too much. And I think prime time on the road is something that that the Patriots can respond to. But yeah, if they lose, definitely not the worst thing in the world. If anything, there's a benefit in that. And it's something that can motivate you. Not that the Patriots really need it. But overall, they're in a fantastic spot. I'm excited for this game, even though, again, it's prime time. And I still have the Patriots coming out victorious.
All right, that's all topics. My hat is empty. This has been Takes from a Hat. I think we got to everything. Shouldn't be any leftover thoughts. I don't think. South Park's been good so far this season.
No episode last week, however.
Nope. Halloween episode coming tomorrow. So, and then we will have another episode for you soon. We will not go multiple weeks again now that Patriots schedule's kind of back and balanced, and we'll get some help from Daylight Savings as well coming up soon. So, until then, you can listen back on clnsmedia.com. Click under the podcast tab, click the Callin' It logo, or it's probably easier, just follow us on Twitter at Callin' It Podcast. We post all the shows right there. So, until the next one, for Alex Lubwitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening.